So this gospel reading from chapter 13 of Matthew is one which we're probably all familiar with. You know, from our early days in Sunday school or catechism classes or during our own adult Bible study, we heard the story about the sower and the unlucky seeds that fell on thorny ground and the lucky seeds that fell on fertile ground. And for most of us, the parable was likely described as God is the sower and our hearts is the ground, and that's true. Sometimes our hearts are open to his word, and the message of God grows in us and is apparent in our thoughts and words and deeds. And sometimes our hearts are like scorched earth, and the word of God does not take root, and we too wither. But instead of thinking ourselves as the seed for a moment, let's think of ourselves, or excuse me, as the soil for a moment. Let's think of ourselves as the sower. You know, consider the role of the sower and visualize ourselves as the one who is casting seed into the dirt, whether fertile or scorched. Now, since God is the sower in this parable, what can we take from that? This question, I submit, draws from us the very idea of our God, you know. Since we believe he is the provider of mercy and love, how do we model that in our lives of, of sowers of the word? First of all, notice how God sows a seed. Some fell on the path. Some fell on rocky ground. Some seed fell among the thorns, and some seed fell on rich soil. God is sowing his seeds everywhere. He is not being picky. He is spreading his seed prodigally, abundantly, lavishly. The sower is not worried where the seeds land, because he knows what we've been told in Isaiah today. My word shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. He presents a great ideal for us. You know, we should not be so concerned with the state of the soil when we're sowing, but have faith that his word will not return void. But we should consider that we are not only sowers of the gospel, we are sowers of love and mercy in our own lives and the lives of others. What this means is that we are not to be looking for repayment for our expressions of love. We don't invite people to the banquet just to ensure an invitation to their banquet. We give without expectation of return. And Jesus reminds us elsewhere that we are specifically to seek out those whom we know cannot repay us in kind. We aren't to spread our seeds of love and mercy for our benefit. For God doesn't love only those who deserve to be loved. God showers his love on those who will receive it well and those who will reject it. And we are called to do the same, no matter how hard. I can't leave this gospel without delving a little bit into the idea of what kind of soil we are, for it will determine what kind of sower we are. For we cannot give away what we do not have. For this, we need to look at the power of God's word that it can have on us when we hear it right. A little note about the power of words. I'm often surprised at what words I spoke to my children that they remember. You know, it'd be less embarrassing on occasions if my children conveniently forgot those words. You know, I remember you saying one time, Dad, and then if not word for word, they give at least a general thrust of what was said. You know, and even merely spoken words can have an extraordinary lifespan. Sometimes we remember things that our parents said long after they're gone. Their words and outlook are not dead so long as we are alive and recall them. And what's true of everyday words is even more true of God's word. That's what's stressed in today's reading and stated again, once again by Isaiah. So my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me void. And the only defense against God's word is deafness, whether inadvertent or deliberate. So let's look at the type of soils that Jesus talked about and try to see what they teach us about ourselves. You know, we can look at the seed that falls on the path as a way that the word is perceived in our secularized, you know, world today. Secular people just don't understand it. They have no frame of reference, and they consider the words and symbols and ideas of spirituality to be pre-scientific understanding of reality. Sometimes they're like a child who has absolutely no concept of the workings of nuclear physics, most like us. They're just like completely foreign to them, you know. And they may be very adept at understanding lots of other deep technical and sophisticated topics, but they just don't get this one. And Christians too can lack understanding on some spiritual truths. And for this, for us, this is a critical gap and understanding that we need to fix. We can do this, of course, by reading the Bible more often, perhaps reading a good book on theology. We have many tools at our disposal. You know, and then there's the seed that falls on rocky ground. This soil really wants to receive the seed and provide a place for it to flower. Hearers of the word like this have initial enthusiasm and understanding that allows the growth to start, but they don't make it the center of their lives. They don't allow the roots to reach all the way down into their hearts. They don't allow the word to affect every aspect of their lives. This doesn't allow them to weather a persecution or a trial or a test of faith, and they lose their way. You know, and after that, Jesus talks about the seed that falls upon thorns. Those of us who are like this soil know the word, understand the good news at some level, but we put our faith in the world and its allure and not the eternal word. We place our hope in the world and not in God. So once again, our faith life boils down to the choices we make on who to listen to. The voice of truth as spoken by God through his word or voices in the world. You know, and as far as what we do, what kind of actions we take, do we provide God with enough time to develop a relationship with him so we can better understand his words and be aware of his grace? And as far as the greatest challenge of all, what kind of sower are we? How do we love in our life? Do we try to emulate Jesus, the only model in the flesh that we have of how to love perfectly? Or do we settle for a self-determined objective on how to love? You know, I don't have a great answer for these questions. I only know that these are the questions that I try to answer in my life. And I hope, you know, they're questions that you ponder also. Amen.
Amen.